तोत्र वेत्रै कपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे विल कंटिन्यू द थर्ड चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता। So till now, Lord Krishna has talked about how for Arjuna, Karma Yoga is better than Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga is, and if he thinks that he is not qualified for Karma Yoga, if he wants to do Karma Kand, still he has to do his duty and fight. And if he thinks that he is qualified not just for Karma Yoga but for Jnana Yoga, then still to set an example for others, he should fight. So we discussed how Krishna turned around Arjuna's argument about Varna Sankara. But the Lord is always very compassionate. Just as we see in the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealing with Keshu Kashmiri, you know, he did not humiliate him. He wanted to uplift him. So Arjuna has some doubts, and Krishna doesn't just want to play with words and defeat him. Krishna wants to enlighten him, and that's why Krishna continues speaking to clarify to Arjuna the difference between fruitive action and detached action. So a person who is attached, he is also going to fight, and Arjuna, he is being instructed to be detached and fight, he is also going to fight. Externally it's going to be the same. So what exactly is going to be the difference? That Krishna will explain in the next series of verses. So we'll try to complete today from 25 to 35, which is one section. So this is how Karma Yoga works. That's the section. Saktah, let's recite together. Saktah karmanya vidvamso yatha kurvanti bharata कुर्याद् विद्वां तथा सक्तस् चिकीर्षुर् लोक संग्रह। यस। सो कृष्णा इज कॉन्ट्रास्टिंग सक्तः एंड अविद्वांस। सक्तः इज अटैच्ड, अविद्वांस इज वन हु इज विदाउट नॉलेज। सक्तः कर्मण्य अविद्वांसो यथा कुर्वन्ति एज दे वर कुर्याद विद्वांस। सो विद्वांस इज दोस आर नॉलेजेबल एंड असक्तस डिटैच्ड। देयर टू कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स, नॉलेज एंड डिटैचमेंट और इग्नोरेंस एंड अटैचमेंट, बट बोथ वर्क सिमिलरली। एंड व्हाई डज द नॉलेजेबल एंड डिटैच्ड पर्सन वर्क? चिकीर्षुर लोक संग्रहम। द सेम वर्ड हैड कम अर्लियर, लोक संग्रह। लोक संग्रहमेवापि संपश्यन् कर्तुम् अर्हसि। 3.20 it comes. So set an example for others. Sometimes people think that spirituality is very otherworldly and impractical. But even the Lord is concerned that there be a orderly society. And if you see the among the various religions in the world, the Vedic religion, the Vedic spiritual path is the only path which offers a structure and framework for spiritual advancement. The Varanashram system, you can be in this ashram and you do this duties, you do in this ashram, do this duties, and it offers a gradual progression. Otherwise, in most other religions, you just have faith in Jesus, you have faith in Muhammad, and you are delivered, which doesn't appeal to any intelligent person. No. So the Vedic path is unique in that there is a structure and a framework for progressive spiritual advancement. So the Varna and Ashram, they create a social structure by which people can live harmoniously, live effectively, materially, and eventually they also make spiritual advancement. So if somebody is accepting a particular ashram, then it is his duty to follow the responsibilities and expectations of that ashram in a way that chikirshur loka sangraha. Somebody becomes a grihastha, he should live as a grihastha in such a way that He sets example for others. Somebody becomes a brahmachari or a sannyasi, that person should live in such a way that he inspires faith in people. So it's not that spirituality as taught in the Vedic literature is unconcerned about this world. Yes, we are unconcerned because this cannot be a source of happiness. Dukkhalema shashvatam. But still we are concerned because this world is the platform from which we can go to the spiritual world. Just like if somebody wants to fly an airplane, the airport from which the airplane launches off, that airport has to be carefully kept. So like that, the material world has to be carefully organized. Not so that the airplane can stay there only forever. That's not the purpose. The materialistic people think that we should organize this world in such a way that we can be forever happy over here. So, the impersonalists on the other hand, they reject practically everything in the material world. Everything is Maya. But that is not the understanding which Bhagavad Gita gives. If you see in the Vedic literature, there are so many verses and sections which talk about the structure and organization of society. Now, from the mundane point of view, it might appear discriminatory, but it's not discriminatory. It's a proper organization with a progression so that everybody can take off ultimately. So, Chikirshur Loka Sangraha. So, somebody might be attached, somebody might be detached. In the Manusamhita and general Vedic literature, there's two paths described, Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga. So, Pravritti Marga is a path of attachment. So, Manu says in the section in the Manusamhita that Pravritti Resha Bhutanam Nivrittistu Mahafalam. This is most living beings will follow the path of Pravritti. But if you can follow the path of Nivritti, then there will be Mahafala. There will be a great fruit by that. So, basically, Krishna is comparing those who are following Pravritti and those who are following Nivritti. Now, Nivritti can sometimes be equated with Bhakti because even a devotee is detached from the material world. But that's not necessary. Nivritti in many contexts also means Jnana, is renouncing the material world. So, here Krishna is not yet talking about his Bhakta. He will talk about Bhakti in 30th verse, but he is talking about just a person who is performing Nishkam Karma Yoga. So, to some extent he is Nivritta. Nivruttu from the fruits of the work. Now Krishna explains another point in the next verse that on one side we should set a good example for others. Second is we should not disturb the minds of others. Na buddhi bhedam janayen agyanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidman yukta samacharan. Yes.
Not to disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties. A learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Na buddhi bhedam. Bhed means to pierce or to destroy. Materialistic people have certain kind of intelligence by which they think this is what I should do for my life and for my advancement. So, na buddhi bhedam janayet. Don't disturb the minds of people. And again, the same two characters, agyana, karma sangina. Previous was avidvams and sattaha. So, same characteristics. Those who are attached and those who are unenlightened, don't disturb their minds. Now, don't disturb their minds doesn't mean that you let them go to hell by the way they are living. No. Joshayet sarva karmani. This verse does not mean that one should not preach. But one should not preach in a way that needlessly agitates the minds of others. Later on, the 17th chapter, when Krishna talks about the different kinds of austerities, so he talks about austerity of speech in 17.15. So he says, Anudvega karam vakyam. The austerity of speech is to speak in such a way that one does not do udveg, agitation for others. Anudvega karam vakyam. So, joshayet sarva karmani. Dovetail their activities vidvan yukta samachara. So, the enlightened person should act in such a way that he can connect others with Krishna. You know, when George Harrison started becoming connected with ISKCON, many people started telling him, no, if you keep going to this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he will shave you off and you will become a Ramachari and you will ruin your spiritual career. So then no devotee ever told him this, that you have to move into the temple, you have to join in. But still he was hearing all this, all the time. Then finally he asked the Prabhupada only, Prabhupada, do I have to join? No, not required. Krishna has given you musical ability. Use that musical ability to glorify Krishna. So, Joshayet Sarva Karmani. That wherever we are situated, we actually connect ourselves and devote ourselves to Krishna. So that is the principle. So now sometimes in the course of preaching, it is inevitable that we agitate the minds of people. Because to some extent people have their preconceptions. And we have to challenge their preconceptions. But that should be done in a compassionate way, not in an arrogant or dismissive way. That the purpose is what? That it's, now we have to learn to separate a person from his conceptions. Somebody may be thinking that so and so person is God or is the avatar of God, or somebody having this idea that, you know, science itself can solve all problems of life. People have different misconceptions. So we need to see that this person is different from his misconceptions. And you know, we have to destroy the misconceptions, not destroy the person himself by the arguments. You know, so we separate the person from his misconceptions and help him to see, okay, this is what you believe, this is not correct. When you do it in a compassionate way, then people get elevated. So, generally speaking, it's not necessary to confront people's ignorance at the first encounter. Sometime or the other, the ignorance has to be confronted. The misconceptions have to be refuted. But doesn't have to be at the first encounter. Let people develop faith in us first. And once they develop faith in us and through us in Krishna, then eventually we can challenge their faith in other things. So, the principle is that we should do whatever it takes to elevate the person. Whatever it takes to elevate the person. So sometimes, the destroying that person's misconception is what is required to elevate him. Sometimes, just detailing him, engaging him is required for getting him connected with Krishna so that he can be on the progressive path. So actually, preaching is not stereotypical. Just because devotees think that because Prabhupada called everyone else rascals, we should also call everyone rascals. Not necessarily. If you see, there are many times when Prabhupada did not use such words. You know, when George Harrison was following several other impersonalist leaders, spiritual leaders, he asked about them. Prabhupada did not speak anything about them. Prabhupada just kept speaking Krishna consciousness. So the point is that the Acharya knows how best to engage people in Krishna's service. And because of his compassion, because of his advancement, and also because earlier the devotees who have met that particular person have created a foundation in his mind. He accepts the Acharya's authority to some extent. Then when the Acharya speaks, you know, he can speak strongly and demolish people's illusions. So there has to be proper background preparation. Otherwise in the first encounter, if we just try to destroy all of people's misconceptions at one go, now we will simply destroy their faith in Krishna consciousness actually. You know, a sadhu's words are meant to cut the ropes that tie him to the material world. But you know, if the sadhu is not careful, his words may cut the word that attach him to Krishna, cut the rope that attach him to Krishna. So we should not be that kind of sadhu. You know, we cut off people's faith in Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And you know, as Prabhupada was asked, that if generally the attitude in the ISKCON at that time was that if somebody goes away, somebody is becoming a devotee but he goes away, you know, he was in Maya. That's why he went away. So some devotee asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, if anybody goes away from Krishna consciousness, you know, 50% responsibility of that is for those who are guiding him. Those who are guiding him, if they had given him proper guidance, he would not have gone away. So we cannot just dump all the responsibility on. Yes, it's a fact, it's objective reality that, yes, because he was influenced by Maya, he went away. But that doesn't mean that he is to be blamed, because the whole purpose of the whole guidance and spiritual care system is that to help people not go into Maya and to help people to come out of Maya if they go into Maya. So, now it's our responsibility to guide people in such a way that they become elevated. And that's what Krishna is saying. So, nabuddhi bhedam janayet. Don't disturb the minds of people. Encourage them. And they'll gradually develop enough faith by which they themselves will challenge their preconceptions. And at that time, we can help them to refute it. Then in the next verse, Krishna describes what is this ajnana? Those who are attached, what is their ajnana exactly? That he describes in the next verse. Well known verse, Prabhupada would often quote this. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartahamiti manyate. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan in his Govinda Bhashya commentary takes this theme and analyzes this elaborately. Is the soul the doer or is he not the doer? So, if the soul, so in this very scriptures, we will find both kinds of statements. If, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita itself, we will see the statement where anybody thinks he is the doer, then he is a fool, mudatma. But then, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, in 18.64, Krishna is telling Arjuna, 63, Arjuna, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Yatha Ichchasiddha Kuru. Now, as you desire, you can do. There are so many places, therefore you should do this. So on one side, Krishna is telling, if you think you are the doer, then you are just a fool, because the modes are doing. But on the other hand, Krishna is telling, you should do this. And Krishna tells, if you do this, you will get this consequence. If you don't do this, you will get this consequence. So, what exactly is the understanding? Baldev Vidyabhushan takes the example of saying, if somebody says, the axe cuts the tree. Now, if the axe cuts the tree, it is true, but it is not completely true. Now, why? He gives a beautiful example. He says, if a woodcutter thinks that I am cutting the tree, he will not be able to cut it without the axe. So, he is not cutting the tree, the axe is cutting the tree. On the other hand, if the woodcutter is not there, the axe is there, the axe cannot cut the tree by itself. So he compares the axe to the karana. Karana means the instrument of the senses. So, if the soul is not present, the senses cannot act. But in the material world, generally speaking, without the senses, the soul cannot act. So, without the senses, the soul cannot act. You know, if somebody is either damaged, person cannot see. So, on the other hand, if a person is dead, and the eyes are there, the eyes cannot see. So, in the condition stage, both the karta and the karana have to work together to produce the result. So, the person, the woodcutter and the axe, both of them work together, then the tree gets cut. So now, when the purpose of the philosophical discussion that is going on is to emphasize to the soul that actually you are controlled by material nature, then it says you are not the doer. Actually, it is the senses which are doing everything. Material nature which is doing everything. Now, what does that mean? That means that, now it is not just like, there is a, this is, you know, no spiritual, no example from the material world can fully explain any spiritual principle. But it can indicate it. So now, the woodcutter and axe example indicates how both are combined in the execution of action. But still, the senses that we have are not just like a insentient axe. Yes, they are insentient, they are not conscious, but they are programmed. You know, the senses work as if by a program. Actually, most materialistic people, they work like by auto-program. Their impulses attract them, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And just, it's like an auto-program, you keep running. You know, you have when planes are going in the flight, at that time, the pilot is just sitting and chatting. The plane is going on autopilot. So like that, the senses are unconscious, they are dead. But still, based on the kind of body we have, the body has its swabhava. Swabhava is its own nature. And because of its swabhava, it tends to act in a particular way. So now it's not that a hog consciously chooses, I don't want to eat halwa, I want to eat stool. No, his body is programmed such a way that automatically he will go and eat that. So in the lower animal species, the programming is so strong that the soul practically has no free will. The soul just acts automatically according to the programming that the body has. In the human body also, when we get a particular body, the body also has its programming. And in general, the body and the senses will act according to its programming. And if we let ourselves be carried away by the programming of the body and the senses, then we can make no spiritual advancement. We will actually be degraded down, because the senses will naturally attract the sense objects. So, therefore, what is the solution? Krishna is telling, so here to emphasize this point, that actually we are not the doers. Why we are not the doers? Because the soul is just like a spectator. If we sit in a train and the train starts moving. Now we are not controlling the direction when the train is going. We are not controlling the mechanism by which the train is functioning. You sit there and it starts moving. So like that, the body functions on its own. So it's like auto-program and it's moving along. Now, what can we do? If you see that way, the soul's interest and the body's interest are quite different. The soul simply wants to love Krishna and serve Krishna. And the body wants to maintain itself and gratify the flesh. So in one sense, you have the interest of the soul, we have the interest of the body. The soul and this is the body. So the body's interests are Ahara Nidra Vaimaitam. The soul's interest is Krishna Prema. But there is an area where these two circles intersect. And this intersection is the Varnashram Dharma. So what is the principle of Varnashram Dharma? Yeah. Principle of Varnashram Dharma is that our body will push us to act in particular ways. And we can't help it. We have to act in that way. But the body's pushings, we regulate it within the framework of what scripture has told us. So, you know, if somebody has a Kshatriya nature, he will find it natural that he wants to delegate, control and direct, manage. That's his nature. If somebody is has a Kshatriya nature, he is told to do the work of a Vaishya or a Shudra or even a Brahmana. He can't do it. He can't do it. He will be miserable. So therefore, okay, this is what the body is programmed to be. Fine. Then you do it for Krishna. Do it under scriptural guidance. Do another guidance of Guru Sadhu Shastra. So, you know, if Narayana is a Kshatriya. Now for a Kshatriya, there is much that is outside his scope. You know, he cannot just be renounced like a Brahmana, detached like a Brahmana. He can't be. Although Arjuna is trying to be, he cannot be the word. So therefore, there is a circle where these two intersect, where the interest of the soul and the interest of the body, they intersect. And to the extent we can situate ourselves in that circle, to that extent, we can go harmoniously in our material and spiritual life. But, now often we think that I should do more austerity than what my body can possibly do. If I start thinking, I'll sleep only for 4 hours at night, or 3 hours at night, or I'll take only one meal a day, or we think, you know, I'll try to practice higher levels of austerity. Often it's not practical. Now, that may be good for the soul. But if you're not at that level, what will happen is the body's functions will get disrupted. Somebody would is going to try to do Chaturmasya, you know, just taking, falling Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, you're taking one morsel from the ground. Their Chaturmasya, in one month, their Chaturmasya got over. And you know, after that they had to go to the hospital and they had to take even not just only grace, they had to take even what is forbidden in Chaturmasya afterwards. Because that's what is required for the health. So, there has to be harmony between the needs of the body and the needs of the soul. And we situate ourselves in a balanced position. So this theme, if you keep this in mind, then we can make sense of the verses. So now, Krishna is telling that actually the body is going to act. So if you think that you are the fighter, if you are going to fight, and you are going to think, I will not fight, you know, it's simply your mind and the modes making a fool out of you. Don't become vimudha like that. So then, in the next two verses, he will describe how a wise person sees and how a wise person directs others. तत्त्ववित्तु महाबाहो गुणकर्म विभागयो गुणागुणेषु वर्तन्त इति मत्वा न सज्यते. यस, तत्त्ववित्, तत्त्ववित् मीन्स् वन् हु नो द तत्त्व, ट्रुथ्, वित् इस् टु नो. तत्त्ववित्तु महाबाहो, महाबाहो ग्रेट्लि पवर्फुल् जन. गुण कर्म विभागयो, सो विभाग, विभाग मीन्स् डिविजन्. वाट् विभाग डस् हि नो? दट् हि नोस् द डिफरेन्स् बिट्वीन् द वर्क् विच् इस् पर्फार्म्ड् इम्पेल्ड् बै द मोड्स् एण्ड् वर्क् विच् इस् पर्फार्म्ड् अकार्डिङ्ग् टु धर्म. गुणागुणेषु वर्तन्त इति मत्वा, इति मत्वा मीन्स् हि नोस् दट् एण्ड् देन् न सज्यते. He doesn't become attached. He doesn't become attached. So now, if you remember, what are the two factors Arjuna was, Krishna was telling? Vidvam and Asakta. So now Krishna is telling, by what Vigyan, by what Vidya will you become Asakta? So on one side, one is attached. And he's just acting impelled by the modes. But when one understands the knowledge, okay, this is how the modes are acting, and this is what they are pushing me, then one can become detached. So, the sattvavit person, because he has that knowledge, then he can detach himself. Now, detach himself does not necessarily mean that he doesn't do the activities. But he understands that actually this is simply the body functioning. The body functioning. And let the body function. We know that story from Vrindavan, when all the gopis went to feed Durvasa Muni. Isn't it? So, when they wanted to go across the Jamuna, they couldn't go. And then at that time, they asked Krishna. Krishna was there. He said, Krishna, this Jamuna is not giving us the way. So, Krishna said that, you tell the Jamuna that if Krishna is a brahmachari, then you must give me the way. And they started laughing, how can you be a brahmachari? You are always spending your time with us. So they said, no, go and tell. Otherwise, what will you do here? They went and immediately Jamuna parted. And then they went and they fed Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni ate everything that they had. They had cooked so much, Durvasa Muni ate everything. And then when they were coming back, then again Jamuna was there. They wondered what to do. They asked Durvasa Muni what to do. Said, you tell Jamuna that Durvasa is Nirahari. Then we should give us the way. He thought, how can you be Nirahari? We only fed you just now. So, still they had to order. Say, Durvasa is Nirahari, please give us the way. We and Jamuna parted and they came back. So, what is the logic in this? That actually, Durvasa Muni was a detached thing. And yes, you know, the body needs its food. So, he was providing food to the body. But he was not involved in that. Even Lord Krishna may be associating with the gopis, but he's not at a bodily level. Now, one meaning of the word brahmachari is brahmacharati, one who acts on the spiritual platform. Krishna always acts on the spiritual platform. So, he is brahmachari. But he is associating with even the devotees who are in a female form. He is on the spiritual platform always. So the idea is that the body acts in its own ways. And when a person does not get attached to the way the body is acting, and he allows the body to act in its own way, but within the regulation, within the regulation of dharma, then such a person can make progress. He can make spiritual advancement. So, next verse. Prakruter guna sammoodha sajjante guna karmasu tana krishna vido mandan krishna vinna vichalayet. Yes. Prakruter guna sammoodha. So, those who are bewildered by the modes. Earlier Krishna used the word vimoodha. So, sammoodha, same thing. So, vimoodha is vishesha rupena moodha. Sammoodha is samyak rupena moodha. And samyak is complete. So, same principle. Prakruter guna sammoodha sajjante guna karmasu. Sajjante means, previous verse had the word sajjate. Sajjate, sajjante, the same thing, attached. So, So he is attached to the work. Tan akrutsna vidho mandan. So akrutsna vid. Vid means to know. Akrutsna means complete. Akrutsna vid means one who does not have complete knowledge. Mandan, such a person is dull. Tan akrutsna vidho mandan. Krutsna vin, one who knows the food, navichalayet. Don't disturb him. So engage him according to his propensities. Somebody who is not yet sufficiently advanced. Ultimately, all of us want to completely transcend the modes. But what is wanted ultimately may not be possible immediately. So, for example, all of us would like to develop a taste where we can chant 64 rounds every day. But right now, if we have to do that, you know, we will not be able to do it. So if that is the demand that is made right now, then we will become very disheartened and we will think this is impractical and impossible for me. So similarly, when somebody is attached to the modes, if you tell him actually you have to just give up attachment to the modes and give up activity because all activity is binding, give up all activity, not possible for him. He will give up spiritual life only. Not possible. Therefore, dote, tan akrutsna vidho mandan, krutsna vin na vichalayet. Although the wise person understands that this action is impelled by the modes. This action is impelled by the modes. But still, don't disturb their mind. Krishnamin navichalayet. So, you know, in the early days of our movement, devotees had a lot of passion. They were from the Western background and they had a lot of passion. So Prabhupada did not tell them that, you know, you have to just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Or told them to chant Hare Krishna, but more importantly, told them, you go around and preach. He dovetailed their passion at that time. And as the devotees made advancement, they started understanding, yes, we have to distribute books, we have to send out as many books as possible. But along that, we also have to read books. We have to apply those principles. We have to transform our hearts. But if initially Prabhupada had spoken just about internal transformation of the heart, the devotees would have been frightened. It's not possible. So yes, Prabhupada did that one time. He starts talking about boiling the milk. Now it's time for us to, not we have expanded sufficiently, we have enough devotees. Now we should focus on boiling the milk. But Prabhupada did not speak that initially, and he did not, in the name of boiling the milk, stop devotees from doing vigorous activities in preaching Krishna consciousness. Because they had that spirit, so engage that spirit. At the same time, have some regulation. Prabhupada told him, you have to follow the four regulations, you have to chant 16 rounds. And he was heavy about that. So he insisted that these principles be followed. So there was certainly some regulation. But he did not demand from his Western disciples that they become like the Gaudiya Mad Babaji's who just sit and chant and study Shastra. It's impossible for them. But Prabhupada himself set the example. You know, he did. When he came back, he was just hearing Hari Kirtan and taking some Charanamrita and absorbing himself in the final days of his life. So he showed the example of what ideal Krishna consciousness is, especially as a preparation for the final exam. So there is the highest level which also Prabhupada taught, what we have to do ultimately. But Prabhupada did not emphasize that this is what all of you have to do. We dovetail our energies, dovetail our passions. Now Krishna, after talking about Karma Yoga and about Nishkam Karma Yoga and Karma Kand, fruitive work and detached work, now gives one verse hint about what is the object of the detached work. That object is me. So this is the only verse in the third chapter where Krishna will talk about himself. Like there's only verse in the second chapter, 2.61, where Krishna talked about Matparaha. So here Krishna will say, Mai, unto me. Let's recite. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvaraha.
Without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight.
Yes. So, fight. The whole purpose of Krishna's telling Arjuna was to fight. But fight in what consciousness? So, yudhyasva is one word, but there are so many factors which are told before that. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. Offer the fruits unto me, all the results of the fruit. Or don't bother. Whether you will get the kingdom or not, whether your relatives will survive or not, whether people whom you love on the other side will survive or not. No, everything, just offer the fruit to me. Sanyasya. And understand, adhyatma chetasa. fight at a spiritual level of consciousness. You are a soul, and as a soul you have a duty towards me. So do it for me. And for your personal thing, nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Don't be attached to material desires and material proprietorship. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Now interesting that the word nirasha, nirasha in novel Hindi or Marathi, what does it mean? Dejected, nirash ho gaya hai. So the idea is that people think if you have no asha, then there is no purpose for your life. They think that if you don't have any desire, then what is the purpose of life? You become dejected. No, that nirasha means no material asha. There is spiritual asha. Asha, in fact, on one side Krishna said nirasha, the other side Bhakti Swami Sindhu, the characteristic of a devotee described as asha baddha. He is bound to always have asha. No matter how much nirasha comes in his life, he always has hope that Krishna will give his mercy to me. So this nirasha is material nirasha. No asha in material life. Nirasha nirmama bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Jvara means, Prabhupada translated as a lethargy. And Prisacharya translated as fever, jvara. You know, Narayan. You remember in the Krishna book? Shiva jvara, Narayan jvara. So, jvara is fever. In Ayurveda, jvara is also called as fever, Sanskrit. So, vigata jvara, the feverish mentality. Now, what is that feverish mentality? The feverish mentality can be twofold. You know, when normally if a person has fever, he doesn't feel like doing anything. He's just lying down, not talking, not eating, not doing anything. So, you become inactive. So, when the fever of tamoguna infects us, then we don't feel like doing anything. On the other hand, now the World Cup is coming, so there is cricket fever. There is cricket fever. That means, you know, people are just running around. When can I watch this match? When can I do this? They are active. They are hyperactive, in fact. But that is also an illusion. So, this jvara can be, if it's because of the mode of passion, it makes one hyperactive. If it's in the mode of, the jvara is because of the mode of ignorance, it will make one inactive. But whatever be the jvara, vigata, give it up. Give up the jvara and fight for me. So Prabhupada elaborates each of these in the purport, each of these elements systematically. And he says that actually a devotee should fight as if in military training. So to some extent, what is the purpose of military training? To some extent, you can say that military training is meant to discipline a person's unregulated tendencies. Now, a person will not, I will fight like this, I will act like this, I will do like that. No, follow the command. Do this, 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 this. Now, that regulation is not for a transcendental purpose. That regulation is just for a nationalistic purpose, so that they can fight as a coordinated unit in the battle. But a principle is there that in the army, the discipline is very much emphasized. Otherwise, the army cannot function effectively. So similarly, Krishna is saying that discipline yourself. We have lots of stray desires which keep coming up. This desire, that desire, this tendency, that tendency. No, discipline yourself. So, and now after describing this, actually Krishna has made a big demand, isn't it? Give up all fruits of your work. Be nirashi, nirmamo. And fight. So then he describes what is the consequence if you have faith in me and what is the consequence if you don't have faith in me. Next two verses. Ye me matamidam nityam anuteshthanti manava shraddhavanto nasuyanto ucchante tepi karmabhi. He may matam. Matam is opinion. Now actually all of us have our opinion. But Krishna's opinion is the absolute opinion. Because he knows the absolute truth. Whereas we don't know the absolute truth. Our opinion is based on relative truths. He may matam idam nityam. So Chakravarti Pada explains that is nityam. Krishna is using to indicate that Arjuna should not think that just because it's a circumstance where Krishna wants him to do something, so he's telling him fight. No, what he is teaching is not the circumstantial principle, he is talking eternal principles. Yeme matam idam nityam. Nityamata. This is my eternal opinion. Now the eternal opinion is not that you have to fight a war. The eternal opinion is that you have to fight against your modes and become free from the modes. anutishthanti manavaha. So the manav who follows this, and how should he follow it? Shraddhavanto anasuyanto. With faith, without envy. Muchyante tepi karma bhi. He will become free from the bondage of karma. So, actually, sometimes we give the example of a doctor and a patient. So Krishna is like the doctor and we are like the patients. So the patient needs to have faith in the doctor. If he doesn't have faith, the doctor's medicine will not work. Why? Because he will not be able to diligently take the medicine. Especially the course is demanding. Do the surgery, take this injection, do this, do that. It's vital for the patient to have faith. Shraddhavanto. So without faith, and the demand for faith is not unreasonable. Because nothing in this world works without faith. But Krishna has an additional requirement over here, anasuyanto. Why anasuyanto without envy? Because it's not just that we have to give up things, but we have to offer all the things to Krishna. Like a doctor tells you, you have got diabetes, you should not eat any sweets and offer all your sweets to me. I will eat them. Why you should eat them? So, then it becomes very objectionable. Why you should? Okay, I will not eat, but why you are eating? So, the idea is that, you know, the Vaishnava philosophy is very lofty. You know, you see the Goswamis are complete renunciates. They would not associate with women. But you know, they are glorifying Krishna associating with women. You know, many of their writings about how Krishna performs pastimes with the gopis. You know, they will eat very simple food, but they would cook opulent food for Krishna. So, it's not just that a devotee doesn't want to enjoy himself. He wants to offer all pleasures to Krishna. And when in this way all the pleasures are offered to Krishna, naturally what happens? The conditioned soul becomes envious. You know, why should Krishna get so much? Why should Krishna get so much enjoyment? But actually, yatha taro ramul nishechanena, that when we offer the water to the root of the tree, then the parts of the tree get nourished. So like that, when we offer the objects to Krishna for his enjoyment, we get a higher happiness by that. We get a higher happiness by that. So, therefore, this is something which cannot be just intellectually analyzed. It has to be experienced. When we offer something to Krishna. You know, many pujaris were once telling that many times, as the congregation Mata devotees grow older, then many times they want to offer ornaments and necklaces and earrings to Radharani and Krishna. Because then they start to realize, you know, we are decorating our bodies for so long, but that doesn't give any pleasure. When you offer something and Radharani wears it, Krishna wears it, that gives a sublime pleasure. So like that, devotees, we can experience something similar. And when we try to speak our own glories, I did this, I did that, I did this, we may get some pleasure. But you know, trying to glorify ourselves, there are two problems with it. First problem is that, you know, we don't have too many glories. And second problem is that our glories are all very unstable. They are there today and they are gone tomorrow. It's like that. But we will see that yes, we may get some pleasure when we speak our glories. But if we speak Krishna's glories, the pleasure that we get is much more. Much more. Because Krishna's glories are unlimited. And when we speak our glories, they just titillate our ego. But when we speak Krishna's glories, they go beyond the ego to the heart. So, we have to experience this. You know, although our conditioned tendency is to speak our own glories, again and again and again. And we do seem to get pleasure because we are not yet at the spiritual level. We are very much at the egoistic level. But if we keep doing this, then we start experiencing that by speaking about Krishna, there is so much more happiness. So like that, that's why Krishna is telling that not only should we have faith that you give up the things, but you should also not be envious, that you offer the things to me. Anasuyanto. Don't be envious. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the beginning one may not be able to immediately follow all the regulative principles. But if one is not resentful of the principle, if one does not resent the principle that Krishna is the enjoyer, then gradually one will get the strength and come to the ultimate principle. These two purports Prabhupada very nicely elaborates, this verse and the next verse. Actually, in the next verse Krishna says, if one doesn't have this sort of faith, one has envy, then what will happen? ಯೇತ್ವೇತದ್ ಅಭ್ಯಸೂಯಂತೋ ನಾನು ತಿಷ್ಠಂತಿ ಮೇ ಮತಂ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞಾನ ವಿಮೂಢಾಂ ಸ್ವಾಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ನಷ್ಟಾನ ಚೇತಸಃ. So, abhyasuyanto, one who is envious, na anutishthanti, one does not follow. What happens to them? Sarva jnana vimudham stvam. Whatever knowledge they have, the knowledge is lost, the knowledge is misdirected. Now, materialistic people have a lot of knowledge. But as long as they are not serving Krishna, as long as they are envious of Krishna, all their knowledge does not help them in any way at the level of the soul. They give them some wealth, some fame, but all their knowledge becomes useless from the spiritual perspective. Sarva jnana vimudham stvam. And why does that happen? Vidhi nashtan. Know that their all knowledge is nashta. It's useless. Why? Achetasaha. They're misdirected. Instead of having the consciousness directed towards the soul, their consciousness is directed towards the body. And because achetasaha, because it's misdirected in such a way, they do not achieve anything tangible by this. So, materialistic people work very hard, no? And some of them are very intelligent from the material point of view. But as long as they don't nourish the soul, it's all a waste of time. You know, Prabhupada used a very classic example. He says, if somebody comes and tells us that, you know, I don't have enough money to enjoy life. So why don't you go and take a job and then you give all your fruits to me? You know, so that I can enjoy life. If you want to enjoy, you work. Why should I work for you? Isn't it? So, he says, actually the body tells us like this. The body says, you work so that I can enjoy. The senses want to enjoy, and the senses, the body and the soul have nothing to do with either actually. But just to satisfy the bodily urges, the soul works so hard. And all his hard work, it does not offer him any nourishment. It just satisfies the body, but the body is ultimately reduced to ashes. So then, after telling this, so now Krishna has told about faithless work and faithful work. Then in the next verse he will say, if somebody doesn't have faith and somebody tries to renounce the work. So now Krishna is telling him to have faith and not renounce the work, but act without attachment. If somebody says, no, I will not act only, I have understood that the modes are impelling me to act now, and I don't want to be affected by the modes, I don't want to sajjante guna karmasu, I don't want to act according to mode, therefore I will just become inactive. Krishna says, it is not possible. Sadrusham cheshtate svasyaha prakriter jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati.
Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can depression accomplish?
Yes. Sadrushim cheshtate svasya prakriter jnanavanapi. It's not that a person who is ignorant will act according to the modes. Even if we acquire knowledge, still we will be impelled by the modes. And eventually we will act according to the modes. So prakritim yanti bhutani. All living beings will act according to their modes. Therefore, nigraha kim karishyati. What will repression accomplish? Now, there are desires and there are tendencies or propensities. Now, the propensity of a Brahmana is to study. You can't stop that propensity. Now, on the other hand, see, there are certain propensities, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, there are propensities which are created by the modes. We cannot stop them. Nigraha kim karishyati. But on the other hand, there are desires just stimulated by lust, anger, greed, pride and mere illusion. They have to be stopped. So when Krishna says nigraha kim karishyati, he is not telling, you should not think that, you know, when I become lusty, nigraha kim karishyati. No, that is not the principle over here. The principle is that we all have, you know, in Ayurveda there is a difference between what urges should be regulated and what urges should not be regulated. You know, if we have an urge to overeat, that should be regulated. But if we have an urge to respond to nature, that should not be checked. So just like at a bodily level, there are certain urges which should be checked, there are certain urges which should not be checked. You know, if the excretory organ wants to pass urine, that should not be checked. But if it wants to pass semen, that should be checked. So like that, there are differences. Similarly, at a subtle psychological level, there are certain tendencies which cannot be checked. A vaishya's tendency to earn money cannot be checked. But then he should not earn money in corrupt ways. See, he will earn money, but he should not earn money motivated by greed. So nigraha apya applies over here to trying to give up one's varnashram nature. It does not apply to lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. Then, so Krishna talks about two extremes. One extreme is what? One just thinks that I will go out of my varnashram and become inactive. That's the extreme which he talks about in this verse. You cannot do it. And then second extreme he will talk about in the next verse is, say if you just act according to your nature, that will also not work. Because that will carry you in the wrong direction. Indriyasya indriyasyarthe ragadveshau vyavasthitau tayor navashamagacche tauhyasya paripanthinau. Yes. Paripanthinau. Pantha means path. Paripanthinau means obstacles on the path. Raga and dvesha. What are the obstacles? We are going on a particular path. So now, if one becomes attached, oh, at this path in the road, such beautiful scenery there. I'll just sit here and be happy. Oh, this path has become so rocky now. I'll not move forward. I'll just... Now, raga and dvesha. You have to put it aside and keep moving forward on the path. Ragadveshav vyavasthitav. Now, sthita means to be situated. Vyavasthita means properly situated. So what is properly situated? Indriyasya indriyasya arthe. In the senses and the sense objects, this raga and dvesha is automatically situated. You know, when we get a human body, the human indriya, it naturally has an aversion to stool. And the indriya of a hawk, it has naturally raga to stool. So that is situated inherently in the indriyasya and indriyasyarthi. But that does not mean that one just entirely surrenders oneself to it. Yes, the indriya will naturally be attracted to delicious foods, good looking sense objects. But then it has to be regulated. If one doesn't regulate it, so one understands that this is not situated in the soul, this is situated in the sense objects. And the senses in the sense objects. Therefore, because it's not situated in me, it's not that I am attracted. It is the modes which are impelling me. Therefore, one should not come under their control. And then Krishna will conclude this section by saying how this program of regulating will work only when we do work according to our particular varna and ashram. If we try to regulate ourselves according to some other varana's duty, some other ashram's duty, it will not work. Then he can Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharmat Swanushthita Swadharme Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha.
It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous.
Yes, to follow another's path is dangerous. That means in the context of the Bhagavad Gita, what is he telling? That if you want to become a Brahmana, and see, a Kshatriya is not meant to be forgiving. A Kshatriya is meant to punish. A Brahmana is meant to forgive. If you know if somebody has committed a murder, the Brahmana will say, okay. Kshatriya will start saying, okay, then what will happen? Everybody will do murder only. Everybody will start doing unregulated. So, he says, first of all, the Kshatriya, if just one moment of compassion, he may want to forgive. But the next moment, he will become angry. Why do you do like this? So, he says, if you have to transcend the mode, there is a proper program. And you have to follow that program. So, according to your varna, according to your ashram, if you act, then you will become purified. Therefore, swadharme nidhanam shreya. Even if you are destroyed while doing your swadharma, yes, even if you lose this war, even if you are killed, still you have done your kshatriya duty. And because you have done that duty, you will be elevated. On the other hand, if you try to take up a brahminical duty, and you will not be doing your proper duty, you will not be able to, you have abandoned your kshatriya duty, and you will not be able to do a brahmana's duty also. Therefore, paradharmo bhayavaha. Other dharma is very fearful. Don't take it up. No matter how difficult your own dharma is, do that dharma. Then Prabhupada also talks in the purport about how, when one becomes transcendental, then one can give up one's dharma and take some other dharma. He gives the two examples. One of Parashuram was a brahmana, acted as kshatriya. Vishwamitra, kshatriya, acted as a brahmana. But that is at a, when one is very advanced. Normally, we act according to our own psychophysical nature. Now, this verse is used by the Paradharmo Bhayavah. That is the slogan which the Hindu organizations use to tell people don't get converted to Christianity or Islam. You know, and they try to have homecoming programs, they call it. Please, they try to reconvert those who are converted back into Hinduism. Now, it's good that people don't get converted. And if we reconvert them, that is fine. You know, they'll at least come back in the house of the Vedas. But you know, this Paradharma Vayava is very different. Krishna is not exactly talking about Christianity, Hinduism, Islam. You know, Varnashram, it underlies all of these. You know, this Hinduism, Christianity, Islam are just human constructs. But the Varnashram is not a human construct. It is a human nature. Human nature to be in of this particular nature or that particular nature. And now this raises the fundamental question. Now how do we know what is my Varna, what is my Ashram? At this stage, it's very difficult to know. So, generally speaking, what is recommended is that two things. Whatever we are good at, you know, in the this umbrella of Krishna consciousness. Umbrella of Krishna consciousness, we have to serve Krishna. But within the circle of serving Krishna, that's the Lakshman Rekha for us. Whatever we do, we have to serve Krishna. But within that Lakshman Rekha of serving Krishna, whatever we are good at, whatever we feel happy, confident about doing, that service we can take up for our life. Now in our initial stages, we can't make it out very easily. Initial stages, what happens is, you know, any service that is glorified by others, any service that gives some respect, gives some prestige, yeah, then we start, I have to do that service. And once we start taking that service and we find difficulty, then that service looks better. So, what happens is, we may oscillate at the level of our minds. So that's why initially, at least for the first few years of our spiritual life, we do whatever services we are told to do. At the same time, we can also be observing our nature. Now, what is it that I am comfortable doing? What is that I feel happy doing? And as the years pass and we stabilize in our Krishna consciousness, then what happens is, our mind is not so unstable. Because whatever service we take up, we are going to face problems in that service. Because this material world is a place of problems. But you know, the expertise of Varnashram is that in Varnashram, people are given the problems that they like to face. You know, if an intellectual is told, you know, okay, you find out which scripture this verse is there. And then, you know, somebody will say, my God, now there are so many scriptures, 1 lakh verses. How will I find out where the verse is? So, when somebody is a Brahman, it's very nice, yes, I'll find it out. Somebody, yes, I'll read that, very good. On the other hand, somebody is told, you know, somebody who is of a Brahminical nature, you go and raise funds. Raise funds? Even if he raises, the money will fall out his pocket while coming back. So, what will happen is, that over a period of time, we will realize that we have certain natures. We have certain natures, and we will gravitate toward those services. And our authorities will also, we can consult our authorities are also observing us. We are also observing ourselves. And over a period of time, we will find some services which we feel happy doing. And that should be our goal ultimately. You know, we should feel comfortable and happy, not exactly comfortable, means in the comfort zone, but we should feel natural. Yes, this is what I would like to do. Now, if I had been in material life, I would have been doing something like this. You know, something like this, but it would not have been for Krishna. Now I am doing it for Krishna. So, that is the principle. Over a period of years, we will all realize it. But we can keep observing. Now this service, generally what happens is, if something is according to our nature, we feel happy doing it, and we are also good at doing it. Both ways it is. We are good at doing it, and we feel happy doing it. And then, when that happens, then we can take up that service more and more. You know, surrender doesn't mean that we have to just suppress our nature. That's a misunderstanding of surrender. Surrender means that whatever our nature is, we act according to our nature, but not for our ego, but for Krishna's sake. Otherwise, if somebody is a good singer, I told him, you have to surrender, never sing. Then those people will never be happy. And not only will they not be happy, you will say, you know, those who are good singers, they surrender, they should never sing. And those who are poor singers, let all of them sing. You know, then nobody will come for the programs also. You know, people want to see materially good things also. So that's why the expertise of Varnashram is that everybody is engaged according to their natures. And to some extent, we will develop our natures much, much more if we try to serve Krishna. You know, if we have singing ability, speaking ability, managing ability, guiding ability, we might have had little according to our karma. But if we try to serve Krishna, Krishna can expand it much and more, much more beyond what would have been our karmic endowment, because He wants to spread His mission. So, we will all learn that this is my particular dharma, and we can look at it. You know, we see many of Prabhupada's disciples, sannyasis, gurus, everyone has their individuality, everyone has their nature. They are doing a particular kind of service. Some gurus may have thousands of disciples, some gurus may have a few disciples. But they are all serving Krishna. They are happily situated, they are spiritually advanced, because different people have different natures. And they all, in the initial stages, practically everybody would go out for Buddhist mission, because that was what was told. But over a period of time, they all found, this is my nature, let me do this service. Let me focus on this. And they have made impact in their particular spheres. So, we should not think that Krishna consciousness means to be, you know, stereotype. Everybody has to do the same thing. Yes, initially everybody does the same thing, whatever is told. So that our mind becomes habituated to obedience. And then, once the mind is habituated, then we can see, okay, what is my nature? What is it that I like to do? And then we can focus on that. And then we can grow. Then actually we'll see, Krishna consciousness will lead to the blossoming of our natural talents. Whatever we have been given, they will blossom wonderfully. And the talents will blossom in such a way that we can do good, true good to the world. If somebody is a good singer, he just goes and sings some movie songs. He doesn't do good to anyone. Not even to himself. It just drags people faster down to hell, isn't it? Because the more nicely he sings material songs, the more people will remember those materialistic things. And yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Whatever we remember at the time of death, throughout our life, that's what we'll remember at the time of death. So on the other hand, if a devotee sings about Krishna nicely, speaks about Krishna nicely, then he will be able to stimulate people to remember Krishna nicely. Then antakale jamameva. So in this way, there is a very systematic plan and preparation in the Vedic culture to elevate everyone to the highest goal of life. So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Gaura Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.